America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Paul Charchian is a world-renowned fantasy football expert and analyst. You can follow him on X on Twitter at Paul Charchian. He is the director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. He has multiple podcasts, which include Fantasy Football Weekly and CHOP. You can find those wherever you get your podcasts. He joins us every Thursday at 11 a.m. during football season, and he's with us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Let me just start with our team. Where would you have Marcus Mariota on your quarterback rankings if he ends up being the starter Sunday against Chicago?
Well, I have ranked him. Let me look here. It's not going to be good because the Chicago pass defense is awesome. And you're going to get a close look at the best cornerback in the league, Jalen Johnson. And he is going to flummox Terry McLaurin because that's what he does. And it's going to be problematic for your squad. Mason, let's see, Mariota, I've got him as quarterback 25 this week.
Where would you have Jaden? Where's Jaden?
Oh, well, you know, I'm assuming he's not going, but I have not actually ranked him. But if he does play in this game, it'll probably be around 5 or 6. So that tells you the delta a little bit, but you know, it would be all about the rushing. And this is, again, an extraordinarily hard matchup for a team with one good receiver. When he gets shut down by Jalen Johnson, where does this passing offense go? And I'd love to give you some stats, if you don't mind.
Please.
To help tell you about what you've got on your hands with Jalen, because he is just amazing. In his coverage the last two games, he's given up 5 yards and 6 yards. The last 2 weeks in his coverage. Here's what he's done on the season. The way they deploy him is if the opposing team has one good receiver, which your team does, it's just shadow the whole game long. So this is what Terry's going to get. So his average game in his coverage is 1.5 catches for 18 yards. And so you have to be able to run a lot on the Bears, and this game plan will be almost entirely decided upon what kind of productivity you get out of Brian Robinson.
Well, teams have run it on Chicago, actually.
They have.
You know, Jonathan Taylor ran it pretty well. Kyren Williams ran it pretty well. Chuba Hubbard, we talked about him last week, had a very good game against the Bears, albeit in a blowout. The turnovers have really been the deciders for the Bears here in this rejuvenation of their season. Look, they've gotten better and they have weapons. You and I have talked about that already, but they're plus 6 in the turnover margin in their last three games.
Yeah, which is probably not sustainable. There's a reason I haven't just come out and just like declared this a Bears victory. And it's because the Commanders can run their way to a win here. I just feel like that's the only pathway to victory, though, almost regardless of quarterback, because then I need Jalen Daniels to run to the team to victory as well. If you're sleeping on the Bears and you're feeling like this is not, this might be an opportunity for an easy win, I don't see it that way.
Well, no, I don't think anybody sees it that way. They're an underdog right now. They're 2.5-3 point underdog at home.
Okay.
And it would probably be a pick'em kind of a game, maybe Washington -1 if Jaden ends up playing and he's totally healthy. Tell everybody, because you are an NFC North guy, you're a Minnesota guy, you're a Vikings guy, so you've been paying attention to all of those teams, just talk a little bit about what Caleb Williams and, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze and Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift, what they've kind of done and how they've gotten it together here recently.
Yeah, it took a while to get Caleb cooking and get him on track. There was a lot of heat on offensive coordinator Shane Waldron through the first few games of the season, but it's come together nicely. The last three games, it's been a totally different looking offense for the most part with Caleb Williams. He's thrown at an exceptionally high completion rate. His completion rate over the last three games is sitting around 73%, I believe. He's topped a 300-yard mark. He's thrown touchdowns in four straight games. And it just the poise and confidence that he's playing with, much, much higher. And they've started giving him a few designed runs, which I think was a mistake early on. I wish they would have given him more, honestly. And you look at how Jaden Daniels has been able to break down defenses with his legs. They did not do that originally. He's getting a couple of games now. I like that part better as well. DJ Moore had been consistent the whole season, but they're also starting to get productivity now out of all the other guys that you mentioned. Roma Dunze is finally starting to acclimate to the NFL. Keenan Allen heavily involved in the last game, I think two touchdowns in his last game out. So it's all starting to click. Oh, and I didn't even mention this. The running game, which did nothing for three games, has gotten so much better. And the run blocking, way, way better for Chicago. They had a bunch of injuries on their offensive line. Those guys all look like they're in better shape coming out of the bye. So, yeah, this is going to be a really, really tough matchup.
Yeah, I mean, with or without Jaden, and I think people understood that, I still think the key to the game, as it has been with Washington against the better opponents they've played, is whether or not their defense can get off the field. Because against Tampa, against Cincinnati, against Baltimore, they just couldn't get off the field enough. And they were in shootout games. They won one of them. They won that Monday night game at Cincinnati, but they weren't able to pull it off at Baltimore. So that's an interesting part of the game as well. Back to Washington for a moment. If Mariota does go, and you've got him ranked as QB 25 if he does go, I'm assuming that you wouldn't deem anybody else offensively to be startable if you've got him on your team.
Well, I've got starting grades on Robinson for sure, who I really, really like. And I've got him sitting, I think, at running back like six this week. So, I love him. Austin Eckler, to me, remains as a flex-level starter just because he keeps chipping in four catches, 40 yards, 40 rushing yards. He's looked good. I loved what he's brought to the offense. You and I talked about it in the preseason. Loved him then, and it's all worked out great. And then, Zach Ertz is one of the ways you can avoid Jalen Johnson, is you can throw to tight ends. We have seen we've seen Chicago give up a few good games to tight ends, including 102 yards to Evan Ingram the last time out.
Right.
10 targets and 10 catches.
Yeah.
10 targets, 10 catches. So, there's an opportunity, I think, for Zach Ertz to at least contribute meaningfully to this game, and I'd like to see that happen here too. So I do have some other starters I like. I think Terry McLaurin's the tricky one, though, again.
All right, let's talk about the rest of the league with Charge. You're a Minnesota guy.
Oh, hey,
and
by the way,
yeah,
Kevin, before we get completely off the Bears, let me mention your next guest up, Courtney Cronin. She covered the Vikings for a while. She was beat for the Vikings here. She's awesome. We love Courtney. We miss her here, and you're going to have a delightful conversation. And really, if it were up to me and I didn't have to go to another hit, I would just sit and listen. I'd just stay on hold and I'd listen to you chat with Courtney.
We've had Courtney on the show many times. I love Courtney, too. Just to give everybody a heads up, she had to reschedule, so we're going to have her on tomorrow instead.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
sorry about that.
No, it's fine. I remember when she covered your team, and she's been covering the Bears for a few years. She does a great job on ESPN. She's excellent. With respect to tonight, first of all, that I wish I could have sat and watched the game Sunday. I was flipping it around. I didn't watch Vikings Lions as closely.
Sure.
Looked like one hell of a football game with the Vikings defense getting it done there with a touchdown at the end, but. I'm wondering if you think short week at Rams, Rams healthier with Kupp, Sam Darnold not as sharp as maybe he was earlier in the year. Before we get to the fantasy implications of tonight's game, I kind of like the Rams. What do you think?
In totality, the Vikings have been so much better than this battered Rams team for most of the year that I want to believe that the Vikings are going to show up and exert their will. They just took the Lions. I think the Lions are the best team in the NFL, and they took them all the way to a 1-point win or 1-point loss. So I feel like this thing should be pretty heavily slanted to the Vikings, but the intangibles that you mentioned are real. They get Cooper Kupp back, and Kupp has got, God, a glorious matchup in the slot. Vikings just getting murdered by slot receivers. Deebo Samuel, Stephon Diggs, Jaden Reed last week, Amon-Ra St. Brown, all of them top 94 yards. And the Vikings slot cover guy is named Byron Murphy. Yeah. Out of 112 qualifying cornerbacks, he ranks 112th in receptions allowed and 112th in yards allowed in coverage.
That's not good.
That's not good. And here comes Cooper Kupp back, right? And, you know, I got to believe, even though he wasn't healthy enough to play 4 days ago, I got to believe he's going to be heavily involved in the offense 4 days later, and that they're going to get him the ball on a regular basis here. So that particular matchup worries me a lot. You mentioned Sam Darnold, and he's cooled off since the hot start to his season. You know, through the first month of the season, he led the NFL in touchdown passes. But since week four, he's only thrown one. They had a bye week in there. He played well last week against the Lions. He actually completed over 80% of his passes. But this is not it's not a trivial matchup. And if there's a name to get to know at the cornerback position, it's Kobe Durant. He's the reigning NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Yeah,
he had a pick, a sack, and a forced fumble in one game. He's really, really good. And he plays one side of the field, so they don't have to worry about like him shadowing Justin Jefferson. They can just put Jefferson on the other side of the field and let Jordan Addison get hung out to dry against Durant. So I still think the Vikings are going to be able to move the ball here. Justin Jefferson, no 100-yard games, and he addressed that this week in the media saying he needs to get to that plateau, and I think that might happen here.
What has been the issue with Darnold cooling off? Just Darnold?
Well, maybe, but I think the biggest problem was he was absolutely battered and had taken some huge, huge hits. He had a non-trivial rib injury and hip injury that he had been trying to play through. And then then they had the bye week, and then last week really played pretty well, and he just looked much more fluid than he had before. So I think that was a lot of it, was him just playing hurt for a couple of games.
So here's a question for you. We'll get back to some fantasy discussion in a moment, but Denton and I were talking about this yesterday. I think yesterday. Let's just say the 49ers continue to remain a battered football team and they have a very disappointing non-playoff season. Can you pay Brock Purdy $60 million in the offseason?
Well, probably have to, right? I mean, you can't.
You do?
Almost never does a team that's got a, let's call Brock Purdy a B-plus quarterback or a B quarterback. Do you think that's fair?
I think a B quarterback. Remember, part of the context would be if they didn't make the postseason, he was unable to elevate with injuries around him that team to, you know, a 9-8 or 10-7, you know, wild card berth. So you would have that in your mind that he wasn't able to, you know, carry a team. He is truly more of a byproduct of everything around him. Not that there's anything wrong with that, and I think he's a bit better than that, which is why I'd put him at a B. But that would be the context for heading into the offseason, along with a couple of other things that I'll mention if you don't get to.
So sure, you could, you know, if it does play out that way, the quarterback's always going to take some of the blame for a season that doesn't end with a trip to the playoffs. He did just take your team to the Super Bowl 1 year ago, and you look at, you know, all the things that have been working against him, it's easy to make a case for him struggling with, and really hasn't struggled that much. I mean, he is coming off a 3-interception game. He's coming off the worst game of the season, but
right.
that is an outlier, and I don't think he'd had any
two in the Arizona game, I think.
Yeah, that's true. So teams almost never let a B-level quarterback walk. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to remember any, you know, Kirk Cousins was allowed to leave Washington. But, I mean, you know, that's, you know, almost never does it work out that teams let that kind of player go. They almost always get paid. But the real issue is if this team's drafting 15th in the draft, Where are they going to find their next quarterback? I don't know how
they're going to find their next quarterback. That the perfect point for me to jump in.
Okay,
you guys drafted a quarterback high in the first round. Sam Darnold's on a 1-year deal. They loved Sam Darnold in San Francisco last year.
Yep,
that's the answer.
And that was that would have to be it. You'd almost have to have that agreement already in place, right? Where, you know, if Darnold loved being a 49er, the 49ers liked their season with Darnold, then, that would be the answer, is you pay Darnold instead.
What if you guys win two playoff games?
I mean, somebody's going to... Yeah.
Don't you think, would if you guys win two playoff games, but hold on, let me take a step back. How about this rumor out there that Kevin O'Connell is interested in Matt Stafford right now?
No, that it's baseless.
Okay.
Totally, 100%. Okay. I can assure you there is that is not at all accurate.
So if, you know, Minnesota, it's going to be hard for them to miss the playoffs, clearly with the schedule the way it looks now and the 5-1 record. They win 10, 11 games, who knows, maybe 12. They win a playoff game or two. It's a good problem to have. Do they re-sign Darnold, or is it J.J. McCarthy because you drafted him so high? And, by the way, you guys liked him in the preseason.
Yeah, we got a very brief look at J.J. McCarthy, one preseason game, and he looked awesome. So, you know, we're extrapolating a first quarter.
That's a bad thing to do.
You know, like, right, it's super, super dangerous, right? And we all know that, but it's hard not to get caught up in that. This is a talker here. You know, what if Sam Darnold is not just good, but what if he's really good and he looks absolutely like a quarterback of the future? Are you really going to not sign him and just hope that J.J. McCarthy is every bit as good, if not better? And it's not like Sam Darnold's old. He's like 25. I mean, it's just, you know, he's got a ton of time left in his career.
Is that all he is 25? My God.
27, excuse me.
Okay, I was going to say, that's
still, right.
He
did get drafted young. You know, he's in his seventh season or whatever. So it's, you know, he started the NFL young. It's going to be a fascinating quandary for the Vikings if it does play out that way, and it might. Vikings look like they are headed to the playoffs. If he wins a game or two, letting him walk would be almost unprecedented in the NFL, and especially with J.J. McCarthy on his rookie deal. Boy, the temptation would be to just say, all right, J.J., you're on the Jordan Love path. We're going to try to sign Sam Darnold to a 3-year deal, and, you know, we'll see you in 3 years, J.J.
Yeah, I mean, this is not an apples-to-apples precedent, but the Chiefs trading Alex Smith to Washington, they knew what they had. I mean, Alex Smith, they knew what Alex Smith was at that point, and they, you know, they had a pretty strong indication of what they had in Mahomes.
Right, but in that case, Kevin, you know, they got to see every day in practice, they got to see Patrick Mahomes.
Of course.
Because J.J. McCarthy has a knee injury, he's not practicing.
Fair point.
So
yeah.
they don't have any practice basis for knowing what they've got with J.J. A
friend of mine just texted me. He said, how are you missing the obvious play to the 49ers next year? It's Kirk. Kirk's playing well in Atlanta. I can't
really
imagine that Penix gets the opportunity before 2026. That's my guess.
Agreed.
Is that Cousins has 2 years in Atlanta. What do you think?
Yep. No, same. He's playing too well. They've got the luxury of letting Penix continue to learn. By all accounts, he's looked good. But still, you know, the Falcons look like they're going to win this division, especially with the Tampa injuries to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. They look like they're going to go win this division, and Kirk's going to get them to the playoffs. And I'd be very surprised if they moved on.
All right, give me Tua. Where would you be if you've got Tua on your roster right now?
So, you know, this thing is really, really tricky, I think. You know, because as big a delta is that there is between Tua and Tyler Huntley, and, you know, that is a big delta. Should Miami have regressed? It's Skylar Thompson, right, who didn't even play that long. Should Miami have regressed so badly that they're the lowest scoring offense in the NFL at 10 points per game? you know, in the games that games they didn't have Tua in, they're averaging 10 points a game. They just played
Charge.
The Colts, a team.
This is interesting to me because, I think Denton and I talked about this last week. You know, there are a lot of people that are not Tua believers. You know, there's been a real, I don't want to say that he's polarizing, but there's been a lot of discussion. You know, if you had Waddle and Hill and, you know, Achane and the whole, you know, Shanahan style, but look at what they are without him versus with him. Like you just said, I don't think people know how different and how bad they've been offensively without him playing quarterback. He's clearly proven to be super valuable in his loss.
Oh, for sure. But, and I don't disagree with anything you just said, but what does it say about the rest of this offense? Tyreek, Waddle, and Mike McDaniel, that you take one player out, and again, acknowledging the vast delta between Tua and Tyler Huntley, you take one player out, and you have a totally non-functional offense. Completely non-functional. It's a little bit apples and oranges.
They did a terrible job with their backup quarterback.
And that's it. 10 points a game. You just, you know, I don't know. I just don't know that you reinsert Tua in, and automatically you go back to being the offense that Miami had last year, for example.
Right.
I don't know that. I just don't know if it's that simple. This thing might be more systemic problems than just Tua can fix.
Right.
We'll find
out.
I'm
just looking to see. In the opener, he threw for 338 and a touchdown, but they only scored 20 points in the game against Jacksonville, a game they won. All right, what else is headline worthy? How about Hopkins in Kansas City? Worth a start this week or not?
Well, before I get into that, tell me, do you think DeAndre Hopkins, and I'll give you in a minute, I'll tell you his numbers and his ranks. Tell me if you think he's a Hall of Famer.
God, I haven't thought about
it. Tricky one, isn't it?
And my gut instinct, I like doing this, so I appreciate that you asked me without giving me any sort of sense. I'm going to say that he is a Hall of Famer.
In 12-year career to this point, and I think this is going to be it, by the way. I think I'm guessing this is the last year. In receptions all time, he's 19th, 942 receptions. In yards, he's 23rd, over 12,000 yards.
Wow.
And in touchdowns, he's 33rd, 79 touchdowns.
That's not Hall of Fame.
I don't think it is.
I mean, you know why it isn't? Because if you're 19th in yards having played in this era, you're just not a Hall of Famer. I mean, what are the other active wide receivers? I would assume Devontae and Mike Evans are up there on yardage and receptions because both of those players to me are Hall of Fame players.
Yep, those are the only two active players. Evans and Adams are the only two. Nicely done, by the way. Jeez, what a pull. Those are the only two
Evans,
active
Evans, to me,
players.
Is the one that never gets the credit, and all he does is put up 1,000-yard seasons every single year of his career. I think he's been wildly underrated.
Yes. Agreed. You know, he's above Devontae Adams in at least, you know, receiving touchdowns and a few other metrics as well. He's currently... In receiving touchdowns, he's tied for 9th all time. I mean, Mike Evans is getting in. It's not even
a
debate.
What about yards? I'm pulling up the Pro Football Reference too as we speak. Where is Evans in yards? Is he in the top 20 already?
Evans is 30 all time in yards.
He's 30th right now. Interesting.
Below Hopkins
is ahead of him.
So there's this.
Yeah.
When the Commanders have faced whatever team Hopkins was on, whether it was, you know, Houston or Arizona or Tennessee, was it always like, well, we got to stop DeAndre Hopkins? Like, job number one is we have to not let DeAndre Hopkins beat us. Because to me, that is the...
There were years in Houston where I think that was true. There were years in Houston where you had to stop DeAndre Hopkins. But if you're heading towards... What is he now? I said the same thing yesterday. I go, is he really that good now? Or, you know, at 30, what is he, 32, 33 years old? I mean, what are the Chiefs he actually is getting? Is that where you're headed with this?
Well, kind of. I mean, it's a little bit, the numbers are so bad right now. He's averaging 2 catches for 28 yards this year,
right.
But he's been playing in the Tennessee offense. So it's hard to know if E-Hop is completely cooked. Is he basically an IHOP pancake, or is he just the victim of incredibly bad quarterbacking? Or maybe they're both true. Maybe those are not mutually exclusive things. And now he joins the Chiefs, and it feels like he's just another guy that's going to be in this ridiculous rotation of, like, you know, Hardman and Juju Smith-Schuster and Justin Watson and Sky Moore. I don't see him, like, taking command of this receiver room at this stage of his career like he would have 3 years ago. It doesn't seem like he's got that in him anymore. And one other thing I'll mention. It's not like Patrick Mahomes is this wizard who suddenly grants his wide receivers fantasy football superpowers. That's just not the Mahomes that we've got right now.
No, he just makes every big throw when it matters, or every big run when it matters.
Yes, exactly. But in totality, he's not. Patrick Mahomes right now is 16th in passing yards in the league and 24th in passing touchdowns.
I know. It's crazy.
Back
to
I'm
Hopkins
not very
for a moment.
About
here, like,
yeah.
I said yes, and then you talked me out of it. I think after pulling up his career, I might talk myself back into it. And here's why. Like, whenever I think about these players, we've had this conversation about, like, Brian Mitchell as an example. You know, Devin Hester got into the Hall of Fame to clear the way for maybe other returners. You may or may not know this. You probably do because you're a true NFL historian. Brian Mitchell's second in league history in all-purpose yardage
all-time
behind
yards.
Jerry
yep.
Rice, barely behind Rice. But
unreal.
His career was as much about longevity as anything else. Not that that should be a knock at all. He was never necessarily over a several-year period of time the best at his position. Devin Hester was. Devin Hester, there was no doubt during his time, he was the best returner and the most feared returner in the game. Brian wasn't that every year of his career. He was in the top two or three of most feared. Hopkins, for a couple of years, was considered to be an elite wide receiver. He was a first-team All-Pro player 3 years in a row, and a second-team All-Pro player a fourth time. Five times he made the All-Pro team, three times the All-Pro first team. That speaks
to
elite.
Is that enough, though? Okay, those were great years. Let's call them five great seasons.
Right.
Is that enough to put you in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. I feel like I need a more long-term domination than that for my taste, and that's why, like, Mike Evans in to me, Hopkins out. But it's close. We're
I'm with you. Evans, to me, immediately, if you had asked me that, I would have said Mike Evans is in. Yeah, Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer. Yeah, Devontae Adams, 100%. Absolute Hall of Famer. At this
for
point.
Sure. Those guys,
by the way,
those guys are getting in, and those are his contemporaries and closest contemporaries.
Real quickly, just, and we, you know, we always get a bit sidetracked, which is fine because I enjoy it. Lamar Jackson, to me, is as much of a slam dunk to win the MVP, not even halfway into the season, as we've seen in a long time. Do you agree or disagree?
It's right now, it feels like a one-man race. The other guy I'm going to put into this conversation, you and I might have touched on this a couple of weeks ago. Jared Goff it's just not the explosive season. He's completing like every pass. It's weird. And I know it's a fantasy football world out there and Lamar Jackson is killing it, but I feel like the one guy that could end up being a factor might be Jared Goff, but that's right now. Jackson's just running away with it again. Well, he's already got two, right? So this would be three
this
for him.
Would be third, yeah.
Yeah,
which,
it's just,
by the way,
you know,
I mean, he's already. I mean, he could be injured and never play again, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Two-time MVP.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're closing in on that. We're closing in on that. Get this.
We need to go get a beer or seven and solve all of the NFL Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Questions.
Right. Well, we should be voters, frankly. I'll mention this. yeah. Back to fantasy for a second. The highest scoring player in fantasy football is Lamar Jackson. The second highest scoring player is Derrick Henry.
Yeah, he's
the same team. It's just
all right. Enjoy the weekend. Yeah. Enjoy tonight. I'll talk to you next week.
Next week, we should maybe we get into the thorny discussion about Art Monk's Hall of Fame career.
Please tell me you understand that it was a Hall of Fame career.
I don't know. I'll give you the opportunity.
You're not going to make a lot of friends in this town.
I know.
When he finally got in, it was long overdue.
It's all about just longevity, right? This is a total longevity play, and I don't know. Now, if you're going to use like your All Pro, that we probably shouldn't start this conversation.
Well, Art, look,
but someday.
Here's what you can just say about Art Monk. Okay, when he left the game, he was the all-time leading pass receptions leader. Isn't that pretty much, by definition, a Hall of Famer?
A lot. Well, yes and no. It's certainly to the longevity of it, but he was, you know, if you're going to use your All Pros, he was an All Pro two times. You know,
I don't think
defenses, you know, there were a lot of times. In fact, I would guess most of his career, he wasn't the best receiver on his own team.
No, he was the best all-around receiver on his own team. He was an excellent blocking wide receiver. He was part of a team that, for much of Joe Gibbs, not 91, they were smash mouth, Riggo, running game, and Monk was, you know, that possession receiver that helped move the chains. He was... Look, I've heard the arguments against, and they're not unjustifiable, you know, in terms of lack of All Pros, lack of, you know, he wasn't the best receiver in the game, understood. I think the overall package, it was long overdue when he got in. We'll talk about...
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
That another time. I got to roll.
Deal. Okay. Bye-bye.
Sharch. Everybody, we'll do some Denton news next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.